Good morning, everyone, and greetings from South Africa. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's Africa, and then there's the South, and that's where it is. We do have to explain that from time to time. I have had this, I must say, in America. When we do say we're from South Africa, they say, oh, is that in Australia? South Africa, Australia. Anyway, it's probably not this educated bunch that's here, sir, but just in case there are any of you who are confused. It's lovely to be here and bring greetings from Westville Ecclesia, where we are in South Africa, to all of you here. And it's nice to see some familiar faces and other unfamiliar faces, but nice to see you all anyway. What do we want to talk about, or I'd like to talk about this morning, is something that almost seems impossible, because we are called to be like God. And in fact, back in Genesis 1, verse 26, we know that we were made in the image of God. Then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And so somehow in this flawed body, mind, we are in the image of God. But then it gets worse, because Jesus says this in Matthew 5, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I teach at a university, and in fact, that's the reason I'm out here, to speak at an education technology conference. And one of the things in education is we are way from perfect. I mean, we just can't even get our basic schooling right, let alone anything else. And now Jesus is telling us to be perfect at the level of God. And so essentially, that's what our calling is. It's a life of being transformed. It's a life of transformation. And I love this passage where it says in 2 Corinthians, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so there is this process that should be taking place, a process of transformation as we are transformed to, in a sense, look and be like God. And so when that happens, we're told in Revelation, the end result, the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God. And so the end of the process ultimately of this transformed person is a person who has the name of God written on him. And ultimately we know, Zechariah tells us, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. And on that day, the Lord will be one and his name the only one. And so we're told that from the beginning, we are called to be like God. Jesus says to become perfect, and we have to be transformed. And ultimately, we will be like God because we will bear his name. And in that day, there will be only one name on this earth, and it's his name. And I suppose that's the thing about names. They're like families. So I don't know many names here, so we'll just choose like Smith. But if you're part of the Smith, are there Smiths here? No, that's okay. If you're part of the Smith family, maybe the Smith family is all, you know, for whatever reason, they've got big noses. Maybe they were wine connoisseurs back in the day, and, you know, it's just a family trait. And you can just see, are you part of the Smith family, aren't you? Because the guy's got a big nose, or a big ear, or a certain face. We carry resemblances from our family with us. That's what family is. That's what we have names. But ultimately, the ultimate resemblance we want is to be associated with the name of God, because ultimately there is only one family name. And so you're no longer Smith and Jones and whoever else. There is only God's name, only one resemblance. And so when people look at us, they are, you're part of his family. You're part of God's family, because I see the resemblance, and that's the calling. To be called to a place where we look like God. I don't mean physically, naturally, but in how we behave. And so it's a divine process. And I don't believe it's by chance that it's associated with God's name. And so we are called to be like God. And what I found really interesting, and you all know this, that the name of God, however we choose to pronounce it, we'll say it as Yahweh, is basically made up of four little letters. And obviously, we don't know how to pronounce it because the vowels aren't there. But basically, it's these four little letters, a yod, a hey, a vav, and a hey. And to me, when we look at the name of God, there's a fascinating thing going on there. There is embedded into it almost, I might call it, a formula for our transformation. Because if ultimately we are to become the name bearers, it's fascinating that in God's name itself, he makes a very simple process of what being transformed is all about, a divine process. There are two ways in which we can become like God. The one is man's way. Lots of people wanted, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to be like God. Herod, the people shouted, he's like God. And that didn't turn out well because he got eaten up by little worms. There is that way of becoming like God, or there's God's way. And God's way is found in his word. It's found divinely in his name. And so what I want to do for the next few minutes is just look at how interesting it is when you take those four little letters, and I like things that are simple because I'm a really simple person. That's why my children just have simple names. They have name badges so I can remember them. Anything too complex and I forget. And I really enjoy doing an exhortation that is simple as well, because then I don't get too confused myself. And if my phone dies, I can carry on doing it even without it. Which is a problem when we use technology for these sort of things, or someone starts phoning and you're trying to stop them from phoning while you're trying to speak. But even all of that aside, I could share this message with you. And I believe the message of salvation is ultimately extremely simple. It's simple to understand, but obviously to live it requires something far more challenging. So I want to start with this first little letter. So the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh's got four letters, a yod, a hey, a vav, and a hey. And we're starting with this first little letter, a yod. It's the first letter of God's hand, name. And the word yod, or the little letter yod, means a hand. In fact, it's very interesting when you look at how it's done. It looks like a little comma. It actually looks like a hand from the top, because ultimately that's where it starts. Now, what's really interesting is, what do we do with these hands? Well, you've got two types of hands. You've got a hand that does this. Now, when a hand is like this, this is a fist. Now, in Africa, where we come from, they love this. In fact, most of our political parties, when they're having a big, we're also going through big elections at the moment, they do this. They raise their hand as a fist. You've seen it. It's a common symbol of power, of struggle, of revolution. Why is it a fist? Because you want to smash something or someone. A hand like this is not very useful. Okay, except for destroying and breaking and that sort of thing. A hand like this suddenly transforms. This is a hand that can now pick up things, or even better, once it's opened, it can give things. And when we look at that word yod, and when we look at the hand of God in the Bible, it's all about an open hand. Psalm 145, verse 16 says this: "You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Every one of us is here today because God opens his hand and we get rain and we get food and we have air to breathe. It's because of his open hand. Psalm 104, verse 27. "All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. And when you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things." God is the hand opener. He is the ultimate one who has his hand open. He is the one who gives. Proverbs 31, talking about the virtuous woman, says this in verse 20: "She stretches out her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy." And so our journey to God begins with an open hand. That's where it begins. And it's quite strange that, because if I had to ask you, if you're going to be transformed, if you're going to be converted, where does it start? In the head? Well, often we'd say that. Well, we've got to understand a whole lot of things. Or we might say, no, it's not in the head, it's in the heart. It's actually in the hands. That's where transformation starts. What is the greatest command? "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." This is the greatest command, and everything is built on that. So that's the greatest command. It's about love. What's love? Now, obviously, it depends who you ask. Ask the husband, wife, boyfriend, you know, it's that Valentine's thing. Ask your children, it's when you buy me a new cell phone. Okay, that's not really love. But what is love? There is no greater gift than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The definition of love is to give. God gave his son. Jesus gave his life. Love is giving. And that's where transformation begins, in us learning to give of everything. What happens when you do this? You can try it. If you open your hands, what do you see? What are these little things? Fingers, right. And how many are there? 10. And guess what letter of the Hebrew alphabet Yod is? 10. It's the 10th letter. This is not about, I know, I'm going to open the hand, I'll hold this one back with all the money in it. Or all my time, or all my energy. That's not the open hand. That's not even the open hand. Okay, unless you've lost a finger. That's just assuming you got all 10. This is open hands. When both hands are open, you are holding on to nothing. You have nothing of your own. Your hands are open to give. And that's where transformation begins. It begins with the open hand, with giving. And so the first step in our relationship to become like God is the Yod. It's to open our hand. We come to the next letter. It's the letter Hey. One of the problems we have in life, and this applies to just about everything, is we often try things, and we try and try and try, and some things just don't work, and then we eventually just give up. It might be something you're trying to do on a computer. It might be a new sport you're trying to do or an activity. It might be whatever it is, and you're just like, I give up. It might be with your kids. We do that quite often. Give up. Just can't. They don't get it. It's very interesting when we give up that we often do this. Why do we sigh when we give up? What's been happening is we've had pent-up energy, or we've been trying, we've been tensing, and we haven't even realized it. And when we give up, we relax and we let the air out. It's built into us. You do it all the time. Nikki does it if she's trying to tell me something. Why are you sighing? It's a communication form. If you sigh, it means you are, something has frustrated you and you now give up. That's what the letter Hey is about. You can even hear it when you say it. Hey. It breathes out. It is a giving up, because that is exactly what God requires us to do. Not give in, but give up. In order to get to God, to be transformed, we have to give up. It is not about what we do. You can try harder and harder and harder and harder, and you will not become like God until you realize we can't do it, and we can't do this, and we give up. But what happens when you breathe out? You die. If you don't ever breathe in again, you die, because that's what transformation is. The second step is we must give up our lives. We must breathe out and die. Romans 8, which we read this morning, verse 13 said, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." You remember there was an occasion when Jesus came to a deaf man. He couldn't hear. And it says in Mark 7, verse 34, and he looked up, Jesus looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." This transformation to this man of his life was going to take place by the breath of Jesus, by breathing out. And Psalm 146, verse 4 says, "And when our breath departs, we return to the earth, and on that very day our thoughts perish." And so this is the second part of our journey. We open our hands to give and realize that we really have nothing that we can give God. And then we breathe out and realize we must give up, because we cannot earn salvation of our own. It doesn't matter how much we study. It doesn't matter how much we do. We cannot earn it. And so we give up and we are left dead because we have breathed out our own life. And so those first two letters at the end of it, it's pretty miserable, because we have to let go everything. We've had to breathe out and we're dead. And then we come to the next letter, the letter Vav, Yod, Hey, Vav. Now, I don't know how many, especially for the guys here, how many times you've had this, and there's certain things. I'm not very handy in the home. Thankfully, Nikki has got to realize this after 60 years of marriage or whatever it is. I'm not handy. Thankfully, she has her father, who's now about 120, and he can still come, and he's the one on the roof, up the ladder, drilling, jackhammer, and I'm just like, "Oh, excellent." I hold the ladder, but I'm not really good at any of those practical things. But occasionally she makes me hang up something on the wall. which is awesome. It's actually easier here. Okay, your houses are made of wood, which is it has a benefit. Well, it does remind me of the three pigs story. Do you have the three pigs story? But anyway, as long as there's no strong winds, you're fine. But your houses are made of wood, which when you're putting up something, it's easy. I mean, you just go like, tap, tap, and things just go into the wood. All our houses are brick. So you get these big hammers and you... And the hammer, and the, I mean, the drill breaks and then it's the wrong place. You're like, oh. And there's dust everywhere and it's a big drama. So that's the first task, get the hole in the wall, and I never have the drills and the bits are all gone and it's just a useless situation. But anyway, but eventually the hole is there or whatever. Now I'm holding up the thing, up on the thing for Nikki to look at, and it's here. Like here, no, that. Uh-huh. Right, up that side. This side, but that side. And it's about 150 pounds, isn't it? Okay, 150 pounds. Holding the thing up, I'm strong, as you can see. But not that strong. And so you hold your hands up like that for a while, and it gets harder and harder and harder and harder to hold that thing up. And eventually, like, forget it. But it's amazing. Once the nail's in, and I put the thing on, hey, that nail has no problem. It just holds that thing all for years. I'm like, man, it's amazing. Well, that's exactly what this next step is. Vav. It's a symbol that looks just like that. It's a straight line. It's the nail. And it doesn't take any sort of brain surgeons to figure out exactly what that represents in our conversion. The next step of our conversion is to come to Vav. Who is the Vav man? Who is the nail man? It's Jesus. Built into God's name is that nail from the very beginning. And so we come to the nail man. And what's a nail do? It holds things up. But even more than that, it joins things. It joins that picture to the wall. It joins two pieces of wood together. And in fact, when you look at the word Levi, I'm not talking about Levi clothing, obviously. Levi the tribe, but the same applies to the clothing, I assume. The word means joined. And it's got two letters in it, a lamed and a vav. Because they were the tribe who joined the people to God. They were the nail between the people and God. And so a vav is about joining. Ephesians 2 says this in verse 21. In him, this is in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are joined to God through the nail. We are joined to God by the nail man, by Jesus. And so there's only one name that saves us. As we know, Acts says this. Salvation is found in no other person. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which he might be saved. And so the third step is associating with Jesus. We've just given up. We've just died. And now we come to Jesus because he's the only one who can take us from death back to life. We are joined to Jesus. And so the third letter, the letter Vav, we have to do it through Jesus. There is no other way. And then we come to the last letter. And now God must have made a mistake. You think, well, why did he put a letter in twice? Because we've got Yod, Hey, Vav, and he puts Hey back in again. Like, oh, he did that one. Gee, why did he do that? It was silly. It would have been so much cooler if it was like an aleph. Ooh, the first letter. Maybe it could have been the last letter because then it... Well, there's a very good reason. I'll demonstrate it to you now. Okay, so now an activity for you. We have gone through this process where we have opened our hands, we've breathed out, and we've associated with Jesus. Right, so I want you to try this. I want you to breathe out. Don't do anything. Just keep breathing out. You can stay like that as long as you like, but at any moment where you feel you'd like to do something else, I will let you figure out what you want to do next. Yes, you want to go, okay. You see, once you've breathed out, what do you want to do next? If you are still living, you want to breathe in. God's name is a living name. You breathe out and you breathe in. Built into his name is life itself. He doesn't leave us dead. The final transformation or the final step of our transformation is breathing in. We are breathing in his Spirit, his breath, his life. And so we come to this fourth part. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, is John 3, verse 6. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We now breathe in the Spirit of God. We breathe in His power into our lives because that's where transformation happens. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It's by God's power that we live, not by ours. And so now we have been transformed. We have breathed in the Spirit of God. And everything we do is not by us. It's because He is living in us. Ephesians 3, verse 16 says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner beings. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's absolutely beautiful that Romans 7 and 8 we read this morning. Because Romans 7 and 8 are the two parts of God's name. See, there's two parts to this. There's the first part, the Yod-He, and then there's the Vav-He. The Yod-He, the first two parts are about what I must do. I must open my hands. I must breathe out and die. The second part is all about what God does for us. It's about Jesus and His Spirit coming back into us. Romans 7 is all about what a miserable dude I am. Oh, man, life is terrible. And unless I die, I am never going to get anywhere. Romans 7 is about we have to die. And then comes, as someone once, I think it was John Launchbury who famously said this, the best part about Romans 7 is Romans 8. Because Romans 8 is all about, and now there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, because all of a sudden you come to a new life, a life that is led by God, a life in the Spirit. And so those two parts of the name are breathing there in Romans 7, as we breathe out in 7 and we breathe in 8. And so that's transformation. We open our hands, both of them, and we give of everything we have. And then we breathe out, and we're dead. But then we come to the man Jesus, the one who will bring us from what we've done to what God offers. And then we breathe in new life, and we are transformed. We have lived the name of God, and we experience it in a very powerful way. And so John 17, verse 11 says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. It's all about the name. It's all about this amazing transformation. And it's not difficult. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to figure this out. Whoa, that's confusing, Craig. How do you do that? Even a kid can understand it. Open your hands. Give up. Grab hold of Jesus and breathe in God. It's the simplest thing to understand. But for most of us, it's very hard. Just to do the first step is very hard, because we don't like to open two hands and let go of everything that we have. We don't like to die to self. And obviously, once we've done that, we've got to grab hold of Jesus and breathe in God's Spirit and celebrate that everything we achieve in life has nothing to do with me, but it's to do with what He does. And so now we come to share the bread and the wine. It's another very simple thing that we do here. You know, you often wonder, why didn't God make us climb up some tall mountain, a pilgrimage, like, you know, I think the Muslims do. Why don't we have some really complex thing we had to do? You know, once a year, you must go and climb up. Have you got mountains in this country? What's a high mountain? Mount Hood. I think we flew over that one. I saw the snow down the bottom. You got to climb to the top of Mount Hood. Everyone, I don't care if you're 100, and there you are, you're like 97, and you're crawling your way up. You get up like, I did it for God. He's so pleased with me. You see, it was nothing to do with what we do. It's to do with what God does for us. And that's not easy for us as humans. We like to achieve things. When I study and I get a degree, at the end of it I go, me, look at me. Look at me, my degree, I got that, I did the work, I figured it out. We go and run, they're running the San Francisco Marathon today. We've done that before, so we didn't do it this time because your marathons are too expensive as well, and I'd rather be here. But when you run a marathon and you get to the end, no one else did it for you. No one was like carrying you. Yeah. You know, no one does that. You get to the end, you're like, ah.
That's why you see it in races. When the guy gets to the end, he's like, ah. He's kicked the soccer goal in or whatever it is. Look at me. We are used to that. We are used to operating where it's about me. And the same can happen with salvation. Look at what I know. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've achieved. Yet our transformation in God begins in exactly the opposite way. Letting go and giving up our own life. And then everything that happens is because of what Jesus and the Spirit of God living and breathing in us enables to happen. And so when we come to the emblems, it's not something amazing. It's so simple. We're going to take some bread and wine. It's just a meal. But it's the power of what it means. We're going to die yet again and be reminded that we can't do it ourselves. And we're going to take Jesus in, the Vav man. And we're going to breathe in the Spirit of God. And then we have the beautiful hope of Revelation 3 verse 12 for every one of us. I will write on you the name of my God. And what a wonderful hope and blessing that is for every single one of us as we are transformed through the power of his name. Amen.